their actual name, but they presented a lot of, it was kind of like a mini 101 course to just be like, these are the opportunities that are available, these are the people who are eligible, and then this is how you go about doing it. So it was a great way to network, get more communication out there for the people. I sat with the USDA representatives, and they are handling two of our big grants that are coming through, and we had a really good opportunity to share with them a little bit more about the county that they hadn't understood, and just some of our needs overall, so that they can, you know, be available in the future for our needs and, you know, any opportunities for building a really good working relationship with some of these big federal grant funders. So that is the end of my report.
Wonderful. Thank you, Honey. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Honey?
No, thank you, Honey.
Vice Chairman Mitchell?
I'm good, thank you.
All right, again, thank you for taking care of those. It's good we have some representation there. Moving right along to emergency management, Mike Bullion. Thank you, Mike. The VCTC, I think I saw Lee up there. Maybe not. How about we go to the comptroller's office?
Good morning. Jennifer McCain, comptroller for the record. I just wanted to let you know budgets are moving along. Department level budgets are due on February 9th, and then we start the process in full with meeting with them and finding out what's really necessary and what is fluff. We wait for our revenues to come from taxation. That should come early March, and then we get into the meat and potatoes of the budget. So you'll have an update every meeting going forward. And that's all I have for now. I have a few items on the agenda later, so I will talk to you soon.
Thank you, Jennifer. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Jennifer?
No, thank you, Jennifer.
Vice Chairman Mitchell?
I'm good, thank you.
All right. Moving right along to the recorder's office.
Oh, good morning. I have nothing to report today.
Thank you, Drew. How about the IT department?
Good morning, Commissioners. James Dean, Story County IT Director. Just trying to keep up with some storm damage from some of our microwave links. We had replacements on the shelf and just trying to get vendors up to get things realigned and retuned up. That's all I have today. Thank you.
Thank you, James. Moving on to Human Resources, Mitzi Carter.
Good morning, gentlemen. Mitzi Carter for the record, Human Resources Director. I just wanted to give an update. I am improving. My ankle is improving greatly, and I'm hoping to be back in the office by the 1st of February.
Wonderful. The 1st of February?
1st of February, 21st of February.
Gotcha. I was like, you're late. All right.
Well, I know.
I hope you heal up, Mitzi. Thank you. Moving on to community development, Pete Renault.
Good morning, Commissioners. Pete Renault, Story County Community Development Director. Just same things happening. Tons of applications for new building. It never slowed down this winter. Even with all the weather, it's just been going gangbusters with more to come. And that's all I got for today.
Thank you, Pete. That's great news. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Pete?
No, just thank you. Congratulations.
Indeed. Vice Chairman?
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
All right. Thanks again for that report, Pete. Keep up the great work.
Thank you.
All right. Moving right along to community chest, Eric Schoen.
No report at this point in time because I have an agenda item. Thank you.
All right. Senior Center, Stacey York.
Nothing to report today.
All right. Thank you. How about the District Attorney's Office?
Got the report today, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Again, always good news. County Manager.
Nothing today. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Oh, my goodness.
Now I'll get done in time for this hearing.
Unreal. Last but not least, our Clerk Treasurer.
Nothing today, to report. Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Look at that. All right. Thank you, everybody. Appreciate the reports. Let's get back to the agenda. We are now on item number nine, which is board comment. Start off with Commissioner Gilman.
Do you want to skip?
Nothing to report today. Thank you, sir.
Oh, so we got to go to 10 right now? Sorry, Commissioner Gilman. We got to jump to item number 10 because that's our public hearing at 10:30. So I'll get back to you. Item number 10 is public hearing. Public hearing on the proposed ordinance 22-321, which proposes the adoption of amendment to Story County Code Section 15.04.01 to include in the adopted codes the 2018 International Fire Code and the 2018 International Wildland Urban Interface Code, the 2018 Northern Nevada Amendments to the International Wildland and Urban Interface Code, and the 2022 Amendments to the 2018 International Fire Code, and amends Section 15.04.080 to address deletions from the 2018 International Wildland Urban Interface Code and other matters properly related thereto. Did you write that?
Yes.
All right. I could tell.
It looks like you covered it all. So
you covered it all.
We have a public hearing.
All right. Deputy DA Loomis.
You covered it.
That's it.
Open the hearing.
All right. So we're going to open the hearing and then move on.
Any comments to the pub from the public in regards to the adoption of that ordinance?
I read all that. Nobody's going to say anything. And how long do we keep this open for?
It's set time.
All right. Fair enough. There's a motion on that, right?
Motion is just to close it, so
okay.
I'll make that motion.
Yeah. All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell, care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, Commissioner Mitchell, move to close the public hearing on ordinance number 22-321.
Wonderful.
I'll second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. So are we going to move on to...
We'll move on to number 11, which is the actual consideration of whether to adopt the ordinance as it presently exists or whether there's any amendments that are warranted.
Wonderful. So now we're at item number 11, discussion for possible action, review and possible approval of ordinance 22-321, making amendments to the Story County Code section 15.04.01 to include in the adopted codes the 2018 International Fire Code and the 2018 International Wildland Urban Interface Code, the 2018 Northern Nevada Amendments to the International Wildland and Urban Interface Code, and the 2022 amendments to the 2018 International Fire Code, and amend Section 15.04.080 to address deletions from the 2018 International Wildland Urban Interface Code and other matters properly related thereto. Deputy DA Loomis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We are here to consider whether to now adopt the ordinance which adopts these uniform codes. Having heard nothing during the public hearing, I don't know if there's any consideration for amendments to the proposed ordinance or not at this point, but it's up to the board to either accept the ordinance or amend it or reject it.
All right, thank you, Keith. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Keith?
I have no questions. Thank you, Keith.
Vice Chairman Mitchell?
I have no questions. I'll just point out that we had our first reading on the public hearing back in January, and I believe at that time the only question that I had, which was addressed, was to make sure that people weren't going to get jammed up with changing codes and having to change midstream as far as their construction projects. So I'm good to go.
Wonderful. Is there any public comment at this time? Not seeing any public comment, Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to adopt ordinance number 22-321.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Keith. All right, back to number 9, which are board comments. Commissioner Gilman?
And no new comments for the day. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Vice Chairman Mitchell?
Not much, just lots going on, and going to continue that way. The legislative session just opened up, and as we know, nobody's safe when the legislature's in session. So we'll keep a close eye on that. And as was mentioned, a couple of us are headed out to Washington, D.C. We have some pretty clear messages we want to make sure that our elected officials have, and we will be carrying those messages with us in addition to the conference that we'll be attending. So thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you, Vice Chairman. I don't have any comment today, so we're going to go straight to item number 12, which is discussion only. Recognition of Sergeant John Michael Mendoza for 25 years of service to the Story County Sheriff's Office and to the residents and businesses of Story County. I'm sure most of you don't know, but John Michael Mendoza has been with us since 1998, started his career, I believe, the first 4 years as a reserve deputy, doing it free of charge, I believe. You know, he's been around, seeing a lot from Story County. He was around back in the, I think he started with Del Carlo. Excuse me for not remembering all of this. He was around when, I'm not going to be able to remember this one either. Who ran the Mustang Ranch?
Conforti?
In the Conforti days, I believe you were here as well. So, you know, John Michael has served the good people of Story County for a long time, and he served us with his retirement, so we wanted to make sure that we honored his service to the county, to the people, to the sheriff's office. John Michael, if there's anything you'd like to say, you're more than welcome to come up.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission. There's could be a lot of things I could say, but it will suffice by saying that it's been a great honor and a pleasure, not to mention a privilege, to serve the citizens of Story County. So thank you.
Thank you. Right you now. Will truly be missed. You've got a lot of knowledge. Don't go anywhere. Just one quick story. When I first started getting into politics, I had the opportunity to meet John Michael down at Rainbow Bend. At the senior center down there, and the wealth of stories that this man has is just unbelievable. You know, talking about Story County, you know, long before I got here, you know, he's obviously seen a lot. I believe he's worked for 4 sheriffs.
Yes.
You know, so he's obviously seen a lot of transition there. You know, again, that history and that knowledge is always sad to go. You always have friends up here. I know you're going to stay local. And with that said, we'd like to present you with this plaque. As a small token of our way to say thank you for everything that you've done for the people, the county, and the sheriff's office.
Chairman, thank you very much.
Appreciate it. And if you don't mind, you can honor us with a photo.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Again, thank you very much.
Enjoy your retirement, sir. Yes. Absolutely.
Good morning. For the record, Eric Shen with Community Chest. So I had the good fortune of starting at about the same time that John Michael did. And when we both started, we were green with respect to Story County, and we learned the ropes together. I want you to know that John Michael, in my opinion, is the epitome of what we want for policing in Story County. He's very community-oriented. You will not find a fiercer advocate for the folks living in the margins, especially the seniors. Mm-hmm. He carried Lockwood on his back, I think, for many years. It was because of him that a lot of things got done. Some people, I know he rubbed the wrong way because he refused not to be quiet, but he was passionate about what he did, and I think I'm hoping the legacy continues with the new sheriff. I think it will. I have great faith in the new sheriff because it sounds like very similar mindsets. But I just want you to know that, and you know this already, John Michael is a true blessing for this community. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate all the good work that you did, my friend.
Thank you, Eric. Yeah, definitely some points I missed out on. A lot of work with the seniors, you know, and again, with the new administration, from what I've seen, they intend to take it that way and keep that going. So, again, thank you, John Michael. Enjoy your retirement. All right, moving on to item number 13. This is discussion for possible action, annual update of the community chest by CEO Eric Schoen. About social services, youth and adult programs, health clinics, and other programs.
Oops. Okay. So, again, for the record, Eric Schoen with Community Chest. Before I start with the presentation, I wanted to do a couple of belated acknowledgments. First of all, we've heard how great Public Works has been doing this last month and a half. I have to say thank you as well. They've helped us keep our programs open and running by being so on top of the snow plowing, the snow removal. Secondly, also, I hope James is still and his team are on the call. James and his IT team have been on the spot. I know the snow has been challenging for them for a number of reasons, but they have been super responsive and they helped us get in front of at least one really big virus. And we're very appreciative that they had such a quick response. They got in front of it that day, almost that hour. They were over there surveying our computers to make sure we could isolate the ones that were infected. So James, please give my appreciation to your crew. And then lastly, before I go into this report, I want to set the context a little bit. The reason we do this is for accountability. I want you guys to know what we're doing on behalf of Story County, for Story County, with Story County. So it's important to me that we have this tradition of coming to you to share with you what's happening. As we go through these results, you'll see uniformly that demand and usage has increased across the board. It doesn't matter which program we're talking about, whether it's domestic violence advocacy, whether it's the kids programs, whether it's utilization of the food closet, demand is continuing to increase. And I think there's two primary, because you'll probably be asking yourself these questions, why is that happening? I think there's two primary reasons. One, during COVID, we saw a lot of providers basically who couldn't hang in there. For a variety of reasons, COVID was really hard financially, staffing. And so you saw in the case, for example, of early childhood education, a number of providers who just folded. So those of us who were left were a smaller group. There's less capacity. Therefore, we have more demand for those remaining providers. Secondly, COVID was not really a great time for most of us because we're social creatures. It tended to exacerbate mental health kinds of issues, anxiety, depression, so on and so forth, domestic violence, things of that sort. So when we came out of COVID, we had this pent up and increased almost, if you will, need for those kinds of services. In my mind, those are the two primary answers for the two primary questions of why are the numbers up? So if you'll go to the next, so this is a little bit of a wonky format for the screen. Youth programs is the next page, 2022 review. So our Comstock and SOARS programs delivered our largest number of children regularly participating in our youth programs. That's both Virginia City and Lockwood. We continue to work with the schools on getting our developmental asset framework out there, which is really a strengths-based curriculum. Also, on the right-hand side of the piggy bank, you'll see we offer two different scholarship options for parents, subsidies through the Children's Cabinet, as well as stimulus funds. And if you scroll down to the bottom of that page, you'll see the growth from 2021 to 22. Sorry, if I get away from the mic, you won't hear me. The growth from 2021 to 22, and then from 21 summer 2022. The green, the dark green shows the number of children enrolled in each program. So you can see enrollment has really gone up. Secondly, the light green displays our average daily attendance. So just for our regular programming, 2022 before and after school program, we have over 50 students who are enrolled in that. All of those are Story County students. And the average daily attendance is 40, 45. So that's our highest number ever. And again, with the great relationship we have with the school district, we're able to coordinate transportation, and I think it works out really well for everybody. So any questions about that first slide? No? Okay. Moving on to the bottom of that, in-school youth, we have an in-school youth works program, which is designed to give work experience for high school students, essentially. We had 7 teens who helped out this time. What they do is they help us to manage the summer programs, to staff the summer programs. They learn some work skills. We help them with interviews, gain work experience, and also money management skills. All right, moving on to the next slide, early childhood programs. Our Early Child Education Center over at the Community Center, where we have a maximum enrollment of 28 students, it's pretty much fully at full capacity each and every day. There is no extra room. We also opened up, if you scroll down towards the bottom of that really quick, an infant care center, which opened in December of 2022. That's where our thrift store space used to be. In our old, we call it the Pink House, the old Victorian building on Toll and South C Street. And that's big enough for us to have 8 students at any one time. Since some of those students are part-time, we have 11 children that are enrolled, and that's for the really small ones, the 6 months to 2 years of age. And that's at full enrollment. So we already have waiting lists for both of those programs. And Jim, I'm sorry, if you scroll back up to where you were, that right here.
Yeah.
Children holding hands. In 2022, 27 children between the ages of 2 and 5 years attended our center, and I guess we're now serving 24 children every day. So we also have scholarships. You see on the right-hand side, increased enrollment. Honestly, we can't keep up. This is one of the number one demands. If you guys remember, the community health needs assessment is still one of the top 3 needs that residents identify when affordable housing the top. I think this is number 2 or number 3. So still very much in need. And we're glad to be able to do that. And then also, scroll down a little bit lower there on the left-hand side, Community Chest was successful, this bold print here, in securing nearly $1 million to build a larger early childhood education center here in Story County. We just received notice of that award a month or so ago. We're waiting for the final paperwork, and then we'll start figuring out where would be the best location. We're hoping that it will work out from a zoning perspective, but there's a lot that we have behind our administration building where it could really work. So, okay, moving on to the Cow Bus, which is the next page. The return of the Cow Bus. So during COVID, we had to furlough. We were up to 4 buses. We had to furlough those because they were tight, confined spaces, just couldn't make it work. And so we lost all of our teachers, but the main teacher who started the program 25 years ago, and she's helping us to reopen these Cow Buses before she retires, probably within a couple of years as well. So we're glad to say we're back up to 2 buses, and they're both in Mark Twain, and we're serving. Just go ahead, scroll down below. If you guys don't remember what the Cow Bus is, it's a classroom on wheels. It's a retrofitted school bus that's had all the seats stripped out, so it's a mobile preschool. And we keep them parked to reduce overhead costs. We're not paying mileage, but and we're also able to use a Mark Twain community center if it gets really cold, because the buses don't have that much heat, so it works out really well all the way around. But in 2022, we were able to serve a total of 38 students. This is primarily between 3 and 5 years, and the main goal of the Classroom on Wheels program is to get students kindergarten ready. This is considered a pre-K program.